Sunday morning, 1:23:22. The title is No Need for Money. If there was no debt, there would be no need for money. I got that from reading the book The Beast from Jekyll Island. And it's all about the Federal Reserve and about all the gangsters, the mobsters that have run this nation for a long time in the debt system. Okay, I'm going to look at a few scriptures here. Psalms 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. I know we're going into a financial reset and we're being given back the things that have been stolen from us, but I don't really think that this is to be our final state. I believe our final state is to realize we don't even need it. What did they do with it? I mean, in there, what happened? God fed them manna. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. So what did they do with the gold and the silver? All right, we're going to look. This is Exodus 31. I see why God gave it to them, because it was their inheritance, but also it helped wean them off. It was, the purpose was to help wean them off. 31:18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. See, they were to walk by the word. All right. And when the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together with unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be the gods of Israel which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. They rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. So, yeah, is it really a good thing? That's why we're going to have to know God's ways, because that will not change things unless we know God's ways. All right. I know that everyone is excited about Nisera, depending on the release of debt. Only thing, is that just like the children of Israel, we revert back to worldly ways and not embrace God's ways? Isaiah 55. This is God's system, God's ways. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having riches. God will make you rich, but it's the heart. Even in this exchange, I've heard of people that were delaying things because they were selfish. They just want more, more, more.
Yeah.
No more delay. Yeah. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. How do you do that? Milk bee? Think about it. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Do you hear that? Thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. And nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to God, for he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Here's how you get things in the kingdom, right here. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Ecclesiastes talks about casting your bread upon the waters, and then after many days it'll come back in on every wave. All right. The way of the system is slavery. Love of money, the root to all evil. Will kill whoever to steal it. Destroy anyone that prevents getting it. Steal from birth to death. This is the system that we've been under. The kingdom of God is divine supply. Money for taxes in the fish's mouth. Multiplication of food when needed. Water turned into wine. Supernatural catch of fish. Walk on water if you don't have a bridge. There is no taking of thought when you operate in the kingdom of God. Under the slavery system, all you think about night and day is, I need, I need, I need. I'm saying, Lord, help me quit saying so much, I need to do this, I need to do that. Help me to say, well, I should do this and I should do that. Instead, I need, I need, I need, because I don't. Lack of equals care. And that was all the shortages, and that what this is all about? All the money, money, money? Yeah. Full supply equals peace. If you're supplied and you know you operate in the kingdom of God, if you don't have something, you just speak it into existence. Or it comes into you from because you sow, your coffers are full. Which way would you rather live? Not having to give a thought about what you're going to do about this or that or anything else ever? Sounds like heaven, doesn't it? All right. I know a lot of people who think we should go back to the bartering system. I still do not think that's even the way of the kingdom. You know, I told you about Kat Kerr going to heaven, and she said in heaven nobody paid for anything. People had their shops open on the main street, and this guy has a pizza shop, and he loves to make pizza for people. And he said, the pizza is the size of a table, and it's round, and you turn the table, and you get your piece of pizza out. They do it because they love people, and they love to bless people. They love to see people enjoying themselves. And she said, every shop is that way. Think about it. You can just enjoy yourself and do what you do and bless others. Never have to give a thought about it. Because there's full supply. And Father's house, his house is full. New concept, new way of thinking. I was asking the Lord recently about investments like silver and gold, and this is what he said to me. Seek first the kingdom. I said, okay. He said, I'm about people. To put the kingdom first is to invest in people. I said, okay, I can do that. In other words, take care of my business. then I'll take care of your business. All right? Divine supply has nothing to do with your efforts. It does not have to do with obedience on your part. Well, you know, if you're not paying your tithe, God can't bless you. Well, I know, I guess there's something to be said about that because you need to be walking in His ways, but still, always a negative. Well, you probably didn't get healed because you do this or that. Yeah. Well, you know what? When Jesus healed, I don't see anywhere where you ask Him, are you paying your tithe or, you know, you got this sin in your life. Until you get that straight, I can't help you. Never once. In fact, that love that overlooks your sin is really what God is all about. It says He reigns on the just and the unjust. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Before we were ever born, He gave Jesus to cover it. So we need to think about that when we get hard on people. All right. But it has nothing to do with your efforts. Okay, 1 Kings 17. Verse 1. There's a few people in the Old Covenant got a taste of this. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. This is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith. This is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get there to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Now you have to remember, the prophet in the old covenant, they looked at him kind of like as God's direct representative, because the Holy Spirit wasn't in men. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So divine supply. And I'm sure when she looked in there, it was probably enough every day just for their one meal. When she used that, she looked in there the next day and there was enough for the next day. All right. We were not created to work by the sweat of our brow. We were supposed to tend what God had already made for us and set up for us. Okay, let's go to Genesis. Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his works which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. I hope y'all get this from the previous teaching to this one. When you make, rest. In other words, whatever you call, rest. Go about your business. Don't even think about it. I've had answers to prayer happen quicker and faster when I do it that way than when I keep putting my mind on it. Keep, you know, needling you. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. If God rested after what he made, we need to rest after what we've made. These are the generations of the heaven and the earth, which when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. There was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to the water of the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There's Bedlam and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia, and the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is, which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, I want to say something to you here. They say Antarctica is bigger than our whole earth, all the land masses on the earth, that it surpasses it in size. And they have found, they keep finding more gold and more gold and more gold. They just keep adding zeros. Dun, dun, dun. There is no lack on planet Earth. In fact, they try to tell you we're so crowded, we want to get everybody into the cities. Well, that's so you can control them. And then nobody's farming anymore, so they can control the food. That's their agenda. But the point is, there's really not a lot of people on the earth right now to fill the land masses that we have on the earth today and the abundance that we have, that God meant for us to have. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, is it not good that the man should be alone? I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. All right. So God made provision for Adam. He didn't ask him to work. He said, tend what I've already made. Maintain it. In other words, keep the devil out. But they didn't do a very good job of that. It wasn't until chapter 3 and the devil came on the scene right here. Let me find the scripture. Verse 14. Wait a minute, that's not it. Just a sec. All right, 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So he never meant for Adam to die, and now here he is. He's completely taken it out of God's hands, and he's succumbed to the devil. Satan's slavery system began. Work by the sweat of your brow. I know this is hard for some to digest, just like the slaves coming out of Egypt, but it has such a far more superior way for us to live than the lash. They lived under the lash for over 400 years. Satan's system is an illusion, or you could call it the Matrix. It's all a lie. Like I said, he didn't create anything. He just stole all everything God made for his man. And that's what they're recovering today. All right. Our brainwashing has only fed the beast. He's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger till now he's filled everything up. God is setting us free from this illusion by his word. His word is his will. How do we break the matrix? Renew your mind so you can know God's will. Not Satan's will, God's will. We're learning to see money, job, etc., as our seed to sow. What we do for the kingdom of God is our real vocation. What he has called us to do is our real job, okay? I remember years ago that Danny was laid off of a job and he started putting out resumes and the Lord spoke to him. He said, "Don't seek a job, seek me." And I remember he sought the Lord for a few weeks. I remember one day I come in and I had a word of knowledge about next Tuesday, you're going to something. I can't even remember the words, but it was just right to the money. You're going to be offered this job and to take it or something like that. You might remember it better than me, but I thought, wow, the Lord knows what to do. He's not expecting you to do it. He's expecting you to seek him. Don't seek a job, seek him. Here's the key. They that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, not by need. When we give, we should not ever be motivated by a person's need, ever. These bums on the street corners. The whole world's like that. They show these things on television with these children with swelled bellies and all this mess. And, you know, really behind the scenes, most of these places we're finding out they're just nothing but a big slush fund. They use these pictures to try to play on your emotions and get your money. I even had them wanting to know if I wanted to give up my credit card points for COVID something or another. And I'm thinking, heck no. Tithing is not for your harvest. Tithing is not your harvest. It belongs to God. The tree. All right? It's God's portion. They touched his portion. He gave them 90%. What did the devil tempt them to do? Take God's too. All right? He gave you 90%. All right. Malachi 3:10, he does say this, though, when you don't touch his percent, when you honor the tithe and you don't take what belongs to him, this is Malachi 3. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, there's big pharma, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, that they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And in that day will I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. All right. That is where it usually begins for most people. They become a thief, just like Satan, and they take what does not rightfully belong to them, and they wonder why God doesn't come through for them. What have we been talking about today? About seeking first the kingdom, right? I believe that God wants our 90% to be our seed. He divinely supplies whatever we need according to his riches, not ours. I believe we'll begin to live that way, to where whatever we have, the Lord requires it, we let it go. And he always makes sure we have a full supply. I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. All right? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Read to you something here. This is from the book, The Beast from Jekyll Island. Who creates the money to pay the interest? Right here. One of the most perplexing questions associated with this process is, where does the money come from to pay the interest? If you borrow $10,000 from a bank at 9%, you owe $10,900, but the bank only manufactures $10,000 for the loan. It would seem, therefore, that there is no way that you and all others with similar loans can possibly pay off your indebtedness. The amount of money put into circulation just isn't enough to cover the total debt, including interest. This has led some to the conclusion that it is necessary for you to borrow the $900 for the interest, and that in turn leads to still more interest. The assumption is that the more we borrow, the more we have to borrow, and that debt based on fiat money is a never-ending spiral leading inexorably to more debt. This is a partial truth. It is true that there is not enough money created to include the interest, but it is a fallacy that the only way to pay it back is to borrow still more. The assumption fails to take into account the exchange value of labor. Let us assume that you pay back your $10,000 loan at a rate of approximately $900 per month, and that about $80 of that represents interest. You realize you're hard-pressed to make your payments, so you decide to take on a part-time job. The bank, on the other hand, is now making $80 profit each month on your loan. Since this amount is classified as interest, it is not extinguished, as is the larger portion, which is a return of the loan itself. So this remains as spendable money in the account of the bank. In other words, they're using your money, making money off of your money. The decision then is made to have the bank's floors waxed once a week. You respond to the ad in the paper and are hired at $80 per month to do the job. The result is that you earn the money to pay the interest on your loan, and this is the point, the money you receive is the same money which you previously had paid. As long as you perform labor for the bank each month, the same dollars go into the bank as interest, then out the revolving door as your wages, and then back into the bank as loan repayment. It's just a vicious cycle. It is not necessary that you work directly for the bank. No matter where you earn the money, its origin was a bank, and its ultimate distribution is a bank. This one thing about Nacera, they are bypassing all banks. You no longer deal with banks. They'll no longer have a say over your money. They'll no longer be able to take your money that's sitting in the bank right now and go lend it to somebody else. The loop through which it travels can be a large or small, but the fact remains all interest is paid eventually by human effort. And the significance of that fact is even more startling than the assumption that not enough money is created to pay back the interest. That's why in God's word, we're not supposed to charge interest. It is that the total of this human effort ultimately is for the benefit of those who create fiat money, which is the beast. It is a form of modern serfdom in which the great mass of society works as indentured servants to a ruling class of financial nobility. Now you can understand why I've gotten such little read of this book. I mean, it's just every page is just tilt, tilt, tilt. This one here is Understanding the Illusion. That's really all one needs to know about the operation of the banking cartel under the protection of the Federal Reserve. But it would be a shame to stop here without taking a look at the actual cogs, mirrors, and pulleys that make the magical mechanism work. It is a truly fascinating engine of mystery and deception. Let us therefore turn our attention to the actual process by which the magicians create the illusion of modern money. First, we shall stand back for a general view to see the overall action. Then we shall move in closer and examine each component in detail. The mandrake mechanism overview. Debt. The entire function of this machine is to convert debt into money. It's just that simple. First, the Fed takes all the government bonds which the public does not buy and writes a check to Congress in exchange for them. It acquires other debt obligations as well, but government bonds comprise most of its inventory. There's no money to back up this check. These fiat dollars are created on the spot for this purpose. All this, the Democrats, all this stuff that they've done, all the trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions they've spent, they just had the Fed make more money with nothing backing it. It's just worthless pieces of paper. These fiat dollars are created on the spot for that purpose. By calling those bonds reserves, the Fed then uses them as the base of creating 9 additional dollars for every dollar created for the bonds themselves. The money created for the bonds is spent by the government, whereas the money created on top of those bonds is the source of all the bank loans made to the nation's businesses and individuals. The result of this process is the same as creating money on a printing press. But the illusion is based on an accounting trick rather than a printing trick. The bottom line is that Congress and the banking cartel have entered into a partnership in which the cartel has the privilege of collecting interest on money, which it creates out of nothing, a perpetual override on every American dollar that exists in the world. So everything that's happening, all putting all these illegals up in hotels and all this stuff and flying them all over the country, the American taxpayer is paying for all of it. Congress, on the other hand, has access to unlimited funding without having to tell the voters their taxes are being raised through the process of inflation. They call it the hidden tax. I forget what they say the rate of inflation. It's the highest it's been in like 40 years. If you understand this paragraph, you understand the Federal Reserve system. Now for a more detailed view, there are 3 general ways in which the Federal Reserve creates fiat money out of debt. One is by making loans to the member banks through what is called the discount window. The second is by purchasing treasury bonds and other certificates of debt through what is called the open market committee. The third is by changing the so-called reverse ratio that member banks are required to hold. Each method is merely a different path to the same objective, taking in IOUs and converting them into spendable cash or spendable money. So everything, we are funding everything. All right, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Right, that is going down. In fact, I saw a deal yesterday about the Federal Reserve trying to push the Great Reset. Yeah. That's going nowhere because Trump took out the Federal Reserve. Okay.